praying Psalms 91. Then we're going to go from there. Psalms 91 tells us, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable, fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. And we will say of the Lord, He is our refuge and He is our fortress." You are our refuge and You are our fortress, God. On You we will lean and rely on, and in You we will confidently trust. You will deliver us from the snare of the fowler, from the deadly pestilence. You will cover us with Your pinions, and under Your wings we will find trust and find refuge. His trust and His faithfulness are a shield and a buckler to us. We will not be afraid of the terror of night, nor the arrow, the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor destruction, sudden death that surprises and lay waste at noonday. Your word says 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but Your word says it shall not pass us. Only a spectator shall You be, Yourself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High. As we witness the reward of the wicked, because we have made You, Lord, our refuge, and You, Most High, our dwelling place. There will be no evil befall us, nor any plague or calamity come near our homes. For You said, Lord, You would give Your angels charge over us, to accompany us, to defend us, and preserve us in all of our ways. They will bear us up on their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. You said that we tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion, the serpent, You'll trample underfoot, because You have set Your love upon us, upon You, Lord. You will deliver us. You said You'd set us on high because You know and understand. You have personal knowledge of Your mercy, God, of Your love and kindness, and trust and reliance on You, knowing that You will never forsake us. Never, never, never will You forsake us. So today, Lord, we are decreeing and declaring Your deliverance from this virus that has overtaken the land. That the name of Jesus is bigger than this. And we speak Jesus to this in Jesus' name. Father, Your word says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. No weapon formed against us shall succeed at reaching its intended purpose. And we claim that word today as we decree and declare it, Father God. And as the article in the handout says, Father God, we eradicate the virus in any hidden places in lives and where it spreads. Your word says in John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness doesn't overcome it. And we ask, God, that You rain down Your miraculous healing power around the world and bring an end to this pandemic once and for all. In the name of Jesus, we declare victory in the name of Jesus over this. We rebuke any plague that may come near our home or our workspace or our children are in schools and this region in the name of Jesus. Your word says in 2 Timothy, Father, 1:7, for You've not given us a spirit of fear. It does not make us timid, but in power, love, and of a sound mind You said that You've given us. So God is greater than the virus, and we will not fear, and we will not give in to fear. The Bible says in Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with My righteous right hand. And we thank You now, Lord. We stand and we prophesy from the position of victory. That victory is ours in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen and amen.
Before the classes go, I want to share this one thing. And I know, and just to tell you where we're coming from. You know, if you ever read of any of the works of John G. Lake, you know, of course, he was anointed. And so, and you know, in the story, and he tells the story of how, you know, he was in a situation and he put his hand down in where all the viruses were and they couldn't touch him. And then I read a book when we first started getting into all this many, many years ago called Like a Mighty Wind. And it talked about the missionaries and, you know, this one situation that I was telling you about, that the guy needed to cross to go take care of some of the villagers. And in the river was all these alligators or crocodiles or something. And so the people were saying, how are you going to get across? And the Lord said, I told you to go. and he walked across. They come right up and stopped. Yeah. And what am I saying? I'm not saying you to try to prove something.
Right, right.
But if God gives you a direction. You see, the devil tempted Jesus, took him up on and said, just throw yourself down. Don't you know the angels will come and take care of you? He said, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. So I'm not telling you deliberately to try to prove that you're tough and you're strong and you get in somebody's face or, you know, that's stupidity. That's tempting God.
Right, right.
And that's giving. But I'm telling you that if the Lord tells you to call somebody and say, do you need anything today? I know you can't get out. Can I bring you something? Can we go get you some groceries? Or do you need to go somewhere? That you don't be afraid to do it.
Right, right.
That's different. Glory to God. You got extremes both ways.
Amen. Right.
But God.
But God.
Amen.
Amen.
And I just want to share this, and I'm going to dismiss the kids. You can go. As Jerry's Aunt Grace died. And 90, she would have been 95 in May, and we were planning her birthday party. She's in the nursing home, and the night, March 12th, that they had the tornado watch in the morning, and you know, Miss Gail, what they do. They bring them in the hallways, and they were all scared. She was scared because of, you know, unusual and all the wind, and so they started singing gospel songs. And they started singing, and the nurse said that Aunt Grace said, well, I'm not afraid anymore. Honey, they put her in the bed, and they found her dead. She was deteriorating, really, really. And the thing is, she went on to be with Jesus before she got so bad that it was hard on everybody. But you know the fact that they were singing about Jesus, and she just says, well, I'm not scared anymore. And she went on to be with the family. That funeral's Tuesday. And she was a sweetie. But, you know, God is good. And you know what? We're going to get through this. God, you know, that, and that's what the world needs to hear. We're going to get, hey, because of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor Shirley, I'll
Amen.
Sit down. And
hallelujah.
Classes are dismissed.
Use wisdom, wash your hands. Amen. Should have been doing that all along anyway. Amen. Well, this message has been kind of brewing in my spirit for about a month now, and Pastor Laverne had mentioned a few Sundays of things contained within what we're going to be looking at today, and the Holy Ghost said, today's the day that you need to minister it. So with the virus going on, I can understand why now. And so we're going to be talking from 2 Chronicles 20 today, a very familiar passage of Scripture about a man named Jehoshaphat. And we're going to start with this one word here, one Scripture, and then we're going to go through it today. 2 Chronicles 20, 15 and 7 says, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the battle is not yours but God's. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the battle is not yours but God's. Wow. So I've come to tell somebody today, don't be discouraged. Don't give in to fear. Don't be afraid. Don't panic.
Amen.
The reason people are panicking is because when you go out and do all this stuff, you're trying to, it's something in you that wants to say that you're in control of something because everything else is out of control. So I'm not going to preach from the mental health perspective. But I thank God for being able to work in that field for the last 13 years because I've understood myself better, been around it, and because our mental health is just as important as any other part of our bodies. Amen. But the battle belongs to the Lord, and God is more than willing to give us guidance and show us what to do until the battle passes. For this too shall pass. So when you're going through this, this too shall pass. And Brother Daniel shared with me there's like 4.468 million people in the state of Kentucky. But they're focusing on the 19 that's got the virus. The enemy always wants you to see. But we've got to see God is bigger than the problem.
Amen.
And we pray for those that are contracted it and we pray for their deliverance and their healing in Jesus' name. Amen. So there are times in our life when we are faced with battles and storms of our own making. And I call this self-made situation, self-made storms, self-made circumstances. because of wrong choices and us just doing stupid things, because ain't none of us arrived yet. So it could be because we've made wrong choices or just did not follow the way of the Lord or was obedient to his word. And those of us that are saved, we're in a partnership with God. And he's the best partner you can have. Amen. So we are in partnership with him, his sons and daughters, and with a God of great love, compassion, and mercy that is always there, willing to help us get out of our messes. Amen. So we can take that message I heard one time and make a message out of it, or get a message out of it to help somebody else, if they'll listen to us. But there are times when the battle chooses us, and that's what I got out of this when I read this. I thought, Jehoshaphat didn't choose this. They came after him. You know, so there's some things that come in our lives that we don't have a choice of. So what are we going to do at that point? Are we going to panic, be discouraged, run in fear? You know, so the battle, what do you do when the battle chooses you, when the battle comes to you? We are doing what we know to do. You know, we're going to church. We're being faithful to God. We're following his word and doing all that we know to do. And suddenly we have something unexpected knocking on our door. You know, 2 Chronicles 20 verse 1 says, after this also came the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, with them of the Ammonites against Jehoshaphat to battle. So they came to him. And what got my attention was, it says, after this, what was before after this? After this, what was happening before that? Well, when Jehoshaphat took over the throne, he established himself as a righteous ruler who feared the Lord. He devoted himself to God and his love for God. Perfect? No. Made mistakes? Made wrong choices? Yes. Didn't. At the end of Jehoshaphat's life, he didn't take down all the high places. But his love for God, his love for the people, benefited the kingdom of Judah and caused them to go into a period of spiritual renewal, economically renewal. You know, the heart of the people turned from the false worship of Baal that was prevalent present in the land that day. And so during his reign, there was peace and prosperity. The nation was in a place of growth spiritually and economically. Things were going good for Jehoshaphat and his people. And they were just living life right along. But after this took place, it says, then there came some people that told Jehoshaphat, there's coming a great multitude against you from beyond the sea, the other side of the sea, out of Aram. And they're in this place here, which is in that place there. Because y'all know me, I don't, you know, by the grace of God, I talk. So if you want, well, anyway. Take notice, Jehoshaphat, they're not a long way off. They're coming up in the backside of this sea, around this sea, and that's how the enemy sneaks up on you. Always comes in the back door sometimes when you're unexpected. They're sneaking up from around the Dead Sea. Sometimes that's how the battle comes to us. So when the battle chooses us, it sneaks up on us what seems to be out of nowhere. Life is going good. All is well. Your kids are walking in the way they were raised, and suddenly you might get that phone call. You may get that letter. You may get that text. You may get that message. It's not something we can deal with tomorrow. It's a situation that says you've got to deal with it right now. So what happens to us at that moment? When the battle chooses us, you may not have time to call the prayer line. You may not have time to call your best friend. You may not have time to get on Facebook and hook up with somebody. So you may not have time to get anyone's advice on how do you handle this. So Jehoshaphat doesn't have the time to round up the army. He doesn't have time to go to his people under him and say, listen, what do we need to do about this? But the enemy was on their door. So what does a person do when the battle comes to them? And I put that in my note and I took it out. And I thought I wasn't going to say nothing about it. But there's a term in the mental health field that says when people are faced with a situation, they either fight or flight. And it's an emotion that we have, which is good if used in the right way. But when it's used to the extreme, it's when we get in trouble. So, but we that are children of God are led by the Spirit of God, and our emotions are contained and operated by the Spirit of God. You know? So when we are dealt with that, when the battle comes to us and it's thrown upon us, do we fight? Do we stand, as we're going to see in a minute, and see the salvation of God? You know, people react to things in different ways. You know, they either ignore it. They either just like push it under a rug. And you know, you can push so much under a rug or a piece of carpet, because pretty soon there's going to be a pile up under there. And guess what happened? When you walk over it, you're going to trip over it. So when the battle comes to you, don't try to sweep it away, but face it head on. And we're going to get through all this as we go through this on how to do that. So a person may do many things in the time of a crisis. Some cover it up, some run from it, but there are some that does like Jehoshaphat does. And I want to be one of those. And this is what Jehoshaphat did. He said, I got to go to God, like right now. I got to go to God and get his perspective of this situation. And one thing that helps me get through life so much is when something does come, I say, you know, you already knew about it. So I'm not going to question why didn't you stop it or why did it have to happen. My question is, what do I need to do from your perspective? Do I just need to stand still? Do I need to take up the sword of the word and fight the good fight of faith? What do I need to do concerning this situation? So Jehoshaphat says, I got to get to God. I got to get some instruction on what to do for me and my people. So Jehoshaphat shifted his focus from what was coming against him to the one he knew who had the answer. So verse 3 says, Jehoshaphat feared, or he resolved, he became alarmed, and he said, inquire the Lord, or set himself to seek the Lord. He said, now I've heard that the battle's coming to me, and they're coming for blood. So I've got to begin to seek the Lord. Jeremiah 29:13 tells us, then you will seek me, inquire for me, and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. So he's saying, if you will search for me, you will find me. If you will say it's a vital necessity that I find out what God wants me to do in this particular situation, he said, I'll tell you. I'll show you. So guess what Jehoshaphat does? He calls a nationwide fast at a prayer meeting. Woo! We need to have more prayer meetings. Verse 4 says, I heard you, Holy Ghost. Verse 4 says, the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. They came from every town in Judah to seek him. From all the cities of Judah. Matthew 18:19 tells us, when two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, make a prayer meeting out of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. My goodness, did you hear that? He said, when you come to me and you begin to seek me, just take two of you. Amen. And he says, when you begin to talk to me, oh yeah, I already knew it, God says. I already knew it. I've already got the plan, but I want you to come to me. I want you to talk to me about it. And when you do, the word says, I'll go into action and I'll start doing something about it. In other words, I'll shift some things around. Amen. But I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to action on your behalf. Woo! I like that. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah, Jerusalem, at the temple of the Lord, and he begins the prayer by reminding God of what he's already done. Not so he can remember, but so you can remember. When we begin to remind God of what he does, he already knows, but it puts us in remembrance. God, you did it before and you can do it again. You've did it before and you're going to do it again. Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nation. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They lived in it, built it in a sanctuary for your name, And they said, if calamity comes upon us, whether sword or judgment, plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name. And we'll cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us, and you will save us. You know, when you have a prayer meeting with God, you've got to know right offhand that he's going to hear you and not second doubt it. You gave it forever, and since you gave it forever, it can't be stopped. Because he gave it to them way back then. And if he gives it to you way back then he's going to let you keep it right now. He's not going to drop you. So he said, now here they come again. You know, we didn't do nothing. We didn't kill them off then. But here they come again trying to take us out of what you've given us. Woo! You gave it forever. And since you gave it forever, it can't stop now. Since you promised to fulfill your purpose. But now here they are. Whose territory, you know, and I got ahead of myself a little bit. You would have not allowed Israel to invade then when they came to Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they're repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us in inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? So you've got to understand, church, the battle comes to you to get you out of faith. The battle comes to you to cause you to quit and give up and give in. And to get you away from the precious promises of God. That's what the battle is all about. Said, oh Lord, our God, we belong to you. So he began to refresh himself and tell the people, God, we belong to you. We're your possession. And when we come into this land, so many years ago, you wouldn't let us drive them out. They're bigger than us, and they came up behind us. And we're not to be blamed for this battle. We didn't do nothing to cause this battle. But the battle came to us. And Jehoshaphat goes on to pray, for we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And it's okay at the moment that you don't know what to do, just as long as you don't take your focus and your attention off of the one that does. Because as you go, you will know. As you go, you will know. He always gives you enough light for the step that you're on. So even though you may not know what to do at that moment, keep your focus on God, the one that does know what to do. So we know that the power, that all that we have to stand against the battle that chooses us, is not done in our own power. It's not done in our own effort. It's bigger than us. It's came up behind us. What do we do now? John 4:4 tells us, because he who lives in you is greater. The one that lives in you is mightier than he who is in the world. Yes. What is in the world? Anything that is contrary to Scripture. That is what's in the world. Anything that comes against you to get you out of faith, to get you to quit, to discourage you and cause you to fear. And all of them stood before the Lord. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fight. So I don't know who I'm talking about. I don't know who I'm talking to right now. But don't quit. Stand. And when you talk about standing, you're not talking about not doing nothing. Because if you ever tried to stand still, your mind is constantly working. Oh, I need to sit down. I'm getting tired. I need to quit. But when you are standing, you're standing in hope. You're standing in faith. And God will give you the strength to stand. Amen. So I can't control what comes against me, us, but our eyes is upon you. So I've got to tell somebody today to change your focus. Stop looking at how big the problem is, how big the battle is, and look how big your God is. Keep God within your vision, within your spiritual vision. And anything that tries to come in on that, don't let it divert you. But keep him in your spiritual vision. Start praising him for how great he is, because help is on the way. Amen. 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 Help is on the way. And the Lord answered their cry for help. See, he is faithful to answer your cry for help. And the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel. And if you go back and read in verse 14, it begins to read, Jehaziel, the son of, and this one was the son of, and this one was the son of. Why was that in there? Because God says, I want you to remember this generation of people that I spoke to. It just didn't happen right then. It happened way back then. And as like I said before, they got the promise way back then. It was still relevant that day. Can I get amen? Every name represented a generation that God was faithful to. In other words, he was reminding them, I've been faithful to your father. I've been faithful to your forefathers. I've been faithful to that generation. Why would I not be faithful to you? I'm not going to drop you now. I'm not going to let you go now. If I've been faithful to them, I'll be faithful to you. So every time that God got ready to pass his purpose to another generation, it didn't stop. He just kept it going. The purpose did not stop when they messed up, when they cost their own battle. The purposes of God, the plan of God, the love of God doesn't stop in your life when you have made your own battle, when you have made your own storm. And I think all of us have made some pretty good storms in our life. But his purpose and his love for God doesn't stop you at that point. Doesn't stop for you. He won't drop you now, and he won't stop with you now. He's just started. And I decree and declare over you right now that the best is yet to come, because you are learning and you are growing and you are maturing, and you are not where you were yesterday. If you are, then you are not going with what the Lord is saying in his word. But we serve a progressive God that gently pushes us forward to maturity in him. And none of us have arrived yet. And in the word of the Lord came forth. Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. And then he tells them to do something radical. Has God ever told you to do something? And you're like, what? March down against them. And then he tells them something else way out there. You're not going to have to fight in this battle. So he says, are you telling us that there's an army coming against us and we're not going to have to fight in this? Stand still and see the salvation of God. Wow. See, for every storm that comes into our life and chooses us, there's a strategic plan for it. And it may not be what you used yesterday. So that's why you have to get the mind of the Lord on the situation. Because haven't you really just wanted to tell somebody off sometimes? And the Holy Spirit says, I don't think so. Amen. So every battle, every situation that comes into your life, say, okay, God, what are we going to do about this? And get his perspective on it. He said, take your position. Wow. Stand firm. And see the deliverance the Lord will give you. My goodness. Take your position. See, what it is, it's all about your position that you've already been positioned in. He wants to try to get you knocked off of it, but he can't. He wants to tell you to doubt it and to be afraid of it. Amen. But you've been positioned with Jesus in heavenly places. That's why we can sit. That is why we can stand in the position of victory. Because it's already done. Tomorrow, march down against them. You will not have to fight in this battle. Take your position. Stand firm. And then he says, don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged again. Go out, face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. So when the battle comes to you, don't run from it. Don't try to hide from it. Don't take flight. But face it head on. And you do it in the power of God, not your own strength. God tells them two times, don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. So if they'd not had the opportunity to do this, he wouldn't have told them once, and he sure would have told them twice. So we're always going to have the opportunity to fear. We're always going to have the opportunity to panic. And what greater time as Christians, as sons and daughters of God, to show our faith is right now with all of this going on. Yes, we use wisdom, but we don't flow with the world when they are panicking and when they're going blue over this thing, because we know who is in control and we know who we are led by, and that's by the Spirit of God. God tells them, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of the size of the problem. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of how big the problem may be. Because in your eyes, it could be really big. In God's eyes, it's nothing. It's too big for you. I know it's too big for you, but the battle is yours. God says, remind us again, the battle is not yours, but it's mine. yes, the battle, Lord, the battle is yours. And then we go about trying to fix it. Then we get stressed over it, and then we pray weary prayers over it. The battle is not mine, Lord, the battle is yours. Help me to have peace. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. We get tired because we're trying to do God's job for him. And when we learn to relax in him and get to that place of rest, we let God do what he does. And then we use wisdom and instruction and follow through that which he gives us. So give it to God instead of worrying. Let's worship. Let's worship. The battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow I want you to march down against them. So God, you're telling us to go toward an enemy, but you don't want us to fight in this. And like I said, sometimes the instruction of the Lord don't make sense. And especially won't make sense for those around you that are unbelievers. When God tells you to keep your mouth shut and those around you are saying, you better open your mouth. You better be talking for yourself. But inside, you know, this battle's not mine, but it's God's, and he's going to take care of it. So I want you to get in position, not so that you can fight, not so that you can struggle, not so that you can grow weary, but so that you can see the deliverance that's about to take place. Woo! That the Lord will bring about to Israel this day. God is fighting for you. So he says, I don't want you to go down there to get in a fight. I don't want you to go down there to struggle. But you're going to go down there at my command and be obedient, because I want you to see what I can do for you. I want you to see the victory. I want you to see the deliverance. So God, I want you to know, is fighting for those that worship him. God is fighting for those that are praisers. He's fighting for his people, and he's fighting for you at this very moment. He sends out angels on your behalf to move things in front of you that you never would even know that was there. Amen. So you get his strength and his provision. So it's time to give the battle back to God and wage the war of worship. Wage the war of worship. So the Ammonites and the Moabites and the Edomites are all coming. And what are we going to do, Jehoshaphat? What are we going to do about this situation? The prophet said, you will not have to fight. I've not brought you down here to fight, but to see a victory. The Bible says the weapons of a warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. So they got the word from the Lord. The battle was coming. They called a fast and a prayer meeting. They got the word from the Lord. Now the word of the Lord was, go down. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. But go down. This is what I want you to do. I want you to march down there. And then it says, then some of the Levites stood up, praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And that's what we should do after a prayer meeting. Because we know that God has heard us. We should stand up and begin to praise God for the victory. We should stand up and begin to shout praises to God. And they set out. And listen to me, Judah. Judah, we know, means praise. And people of Jerusalem, listen to me, praisers. Have faith in the Lord your God, and I'll uphold you. Even though they don't have to fight, as I said, they had to face it. And God wants to give you the faith to face that battle, whatever it may be today. And let him do the fighting for you. The enemies were standing right in the face. And the word of the Lord says, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord. Wow, so here they were going down there to face a vast army, and God decided to raise up the praise. God tells Jehoshaphat to raise up the praise. He's waiting, wanting them to focus, and that's what worship does. That's what praise does. He gets us back into the center of focus of who is fighting our battles for us. That's what worship does. That's what praise does. God begins to magnify in front of us, and it gets us focused off the battle when we begin to worship and we begin to praise him. Singing in worship gets your focus back on the one who can help you. I want you to sing, people, he says. Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for his splendor and his holiness. And when you start singing praise, it will put your focus back in the right place. And the word says, as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord for his love. How deep, how wide is your love, O Lord? Wow. His love has got you covered today. And there's no place that you can go to get away from that. Even David told us that in Psalms. And they began to sing and praise. But guess what happened when they began to do that? The Lord set ambushes against their enemies, and they were defeated by the angel armies of God. Have you ever had a battle and then all at once it just worked out? It just happened? God set ambushes for you. He set a trap for the enemy that wanted to destroy you. He set a trap for the enemy that wanted to discourage you and cause you to fear and cause you to quit and cause you to give up. He set ambushes for them and for you. God is going to fight what you can see. And sometimes he sends stuff that we can't see that fights our battles. And that's when we just trust and we say, I don't know how you worked it out, but I know you're going to work it out. And I know there's been times in my life when I've been discouraged and I've wanted to be afraid. I have literally gone to bed and I've just covered up my head. I said, God, you got it. I don't know how you're going to work it out. It may be tonight or it may be tomorrow, but I'm covered. Oh, hallelujah. I just cover myself with a blanket and I just say, Lord, as I've covered myself with this blanket, you've got me covered. I don't know how you're going to work it out. I don't know who you're going to use to work it out. I don't know where it's coming from, but I know that you're faithful. Now my response to you is to be faithful to you and to do what you've told me to do, even though I may not understand it. So I got to tell somebody right now, God's got you covered. He's got your children covered. He's got those that you love covered. You keep praying and don't you give up. Don't you be discouraged. Don't you be dismayed. Don't you give in. Don't quit. Don't flight from the situation. Woo! Hey! God's got you covered today, church. God's got you covered today. He's got you covered today. So if the battle you're facing today feels too big, I've got to tell you it belongs to the Lord. Leave it there. Get instruction from him. Grab somebody that you know that knows how to pray and say, come, I need to have a prayer meeting. I need to have the prayer meeting. So when the battle chooses you, stand. Stand in faith. Stand in hope. Stand in the position of victory. And God wants to lift the weight from you today of that battle. Because you'll grow weary. When you grow weary, that's when you become discouraged. And he wants to lift that weight today. And I want to let you know that his shoulders are big enough to carry it. Yes. His shoulders are big enough to carry it. So I found in life that I've never discovered that God is all I need till I'm in a position to realize he's all I got. Yeah. And sometimes when our back against the wall, and we can't go to the left or the right, we run out of all resources. We can't pull anything in from anywhere else. And then we realize we've got nothing but God, when all along God is saying that's all you needed was me. That was all you needed was me to start with. So get back to focus. Let's praise. Let's sing. Let's shout. Let's decree. Let's declare the word of the Lord. Woo! Hey! Some of you need to stand up and begin to praise God because your breakthrough is nearer than you think. Come on. If you need breakthrough in your house, call it though. Call it as God sees it. Father, we thank you today that this place is filled with people that are saved, delivered, filled with the Holy Ghost, that has a passion to serve you. I thank you, God, that they're coming from the left, from the north, from the east, from the south and west with the testimony of your saving grace. I thank you, God, for prayer warriors being raised up in this church, that you're bringing us back to knowing who we are in you, that you're bringing us back to that place of prayer again. As you've told us long time ago, this place, this house is called a house of prayer. because we know in whom we serve, and we believe in the one that we're in partnership with, and there's great power to those that know in whom they believe. We decree and declare today, God, that this place is a lighthouse to the weary, that it's healing to those that need healing, God, because there's no addiction greater than the blood of Jesus. There's no addiction greater than the name of Jesus. There's no disease greater than the name of Jesus. That name that's above every name. Everybody shout, Jesus! Jesus is for us, so who can be against us? Who can be against us? Ha ha! Woo! Wow! Wow, 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 wow. Things are being broken up around you right now. And just as it's been, I just hear God saying, just as it's been so much rain in the natural, He says there's going to be so much rain in the spirit that the fallow grounds are going to be broken up because of the rain that is falling. And it's going to be just like now. There's no place for the rain to go because the earth is so wet. God says, I'm running up on my church, and they're going to become so wet with the Holy Ghost that it's going to rain off on everybody else. And you're just going to pray for people and they're going to get healed. You're just going to prophesy to people. Situations in their life are going to come together. Wow, the rain of the Spirit is falling. Wow, ha ha ha! Oh, saladido kohumba babahasaya. Fill us, Lord, with Your Spirit again. Fill us, baptize us with fresh fire, Lord. Baptize us with fresh fire, God. Oh, that we may not forget our first love. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Baptize us with fresh fire today, God. Baptize us with fresh fire today, God. And I decree and declare that their county and the surrounding counties are not going to be known as a place that you can come and get drugs, but it's going to be known as a place that you can get God. It's going to be known as a place that you can find God. Hallelujah. I speak revival over the state of Kentucky in the name of Jesus. I speak revival over this nation in the name of Jesus. I speak revival over this world in the name of Jesus. The reign of Your Spirit. Wow. And Lord, let it start with us. Let it start with me. Prophesy to yourself. Let that start with me, God. Let Your fire burn within us, God, until it overtakes us and everything around us, God, that we would see with eyes that's focused on You in this season, God. Restore that passion in us again, God, that we say, Holy Ghost, catch us. Don't let us go until You have all of us. Let Your goodness overtake us. Let Your mercy overtake us. Let Your goodness overtake us. Hallelujah. Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grab a hold of what God is doing this season, church. Grab a hold of what God is doing in this season. He's doing great and mighty things. I speak healing over your bodies right now. In the name of Jesus, if you're experiencing any kind of pain, I curse that thing, whatever's causing that pain, to be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Amen and amen. Yes, 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 yes. I decree over you to have a blessed week, that you are highly favored by God, that everything you touch is blessed. Oh, that you've been marked for such a time as this. I decree in favor over your household, over your job, and wherever you go, blessings are running to overtake you, that you have more than enough, more than enough, more than enough. And when the battle chooses you, you have chosen the Lord. And He's going to take care of it. Rest in Him. Grab a hold of Him and not let Him go. And we just speak over our pastor today in the name of Jesus. We just thank You, Lord, that You are just falling fresh upon him right now. From the top of his head to the tips of his soul, he's been renewed like never before. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that, God. And everybody said amen and amen. Amen.